The federal government's followed through on its promise to name and shame organisations refusing to sign up to its redress scheme for survivors of institutional child sex abuse by midnight last night. In the early hours, it published six names, including the Jehovah's Witnesses, Kenja Communications and the Australian Air League. The government says they're now ineligible for Commonwealth grants and it's investigating options to revoke their tax concessions. The minister responsible is Senator Anne Rustin, the Families and Social Services Minister. Minister, thanks for joining the program. Can you name the groups that are refused to join the redress scheme and what happens now?
Well, we have named them. They're actually on our website and I can name them now for your listeners. They're the Australian Air League, the Boys Brigade New South Wales, Fairbridge Restored, Lakes Entrance Pioneer Club, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Kenja Communications.
What happens now? You've threatened sanctions against them in terms of not allowing them to access government grants and tax donations. How meaningful is that threat? Do any of the groups actually rely on any of those things?
Yes, they do. Certainly some of them rely on Commonwealth funding and obviously no future Commonwealth funding will be available to any of them. Many of them have favourable tax concessions that apply to their organisation. So, you know, that will impact on them. And I'll also be speaking to the Redress Board, which I have a Redress Board meeting on the 8th of July, where I was speaking to the states and territories about further sanctions that the states and territories may be able to apply as well.
What can you say about these groups, their reasons for refusing to be part of the scheme? In the case of Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, it argues the scheme is not designed well for its organisation, that it affects less than 10 cases and that it claims it's handling those cases in a principled way. Do you accept those arguments, given how this whole scheme actually has come about?
Well, we have, the scheme has applications that have been submitted to the National Redress Scheme who name these organisations in those claims. And so what we would say to those organisations, if you believe that you have a mechanism that is better, if you believe you don't, for instance, have the financial capacity to be able to support the claims, you know, if you are disputing the claims, it's not up to you to make those decisions. Let the independent scheme assess the validity of the arguments that you're putting forward, because they may well be correct, but it's not for them to decide. We have applications and we have the responsibility to process those applications.
How do you describe these groups' reasons for refusing to be part of this? I mean, this is a process that's played out for years. What about the victims who are waiting for money now? It means, effectively, I think 55 victims are still now in limbo because of this. How will they be compensated in a timely fashion?
Well, I mean, I would say to those organisations, have a really serious rethink. I mean, whilst we can threaten sanctions and we will take actions that will be have a detrimental impact on your organisation, think about the reputational damage by you saying as an organisation that despite having a history of working with children, despite having applications against your organisation for child sexual abuse, you still refuse to accept your moral obligation and responsibility to come forward and allow these people the small thing of a bit of redress and a small amount of money to acknowledge that they actually have had wrongs committed against them. I don't understand how any organisation can take that kind of course of action. And so I will be calling on them to actually rethink their position. But equally, one of the things that we will be investigating over the next at the next board meeting of the redress ministers, the states and territory ministers, will be funder of last resort to make sure that we are addressing the wrongs that have been committed to these people over so many years.
How quickly do you want these cases now finalised for those 55 victims who are now in limbo?
Well, I'd like to see that they get finalised as quickly as possible. I mean, this must be a very dark day for those 55 applicants. They must be feeling very, very let down. And so I would like to work as quickly as I possibly can with my state and territory counterparts, given that we do need to get a unanimous decision of that board before we can make any changes. But I'd also say that there have already been a number of cases where states and territories have picked up responsibility of funder of last resort and actually paid out applications. We've already had eight institutions have states and territories accepted responsibility for those eight institutions. So I would like to think that now that we have got some clarity and finality, we always gave everybody until today, now that we have that clarity around who actually has refused to join, we should be able to move much more quickly than we've been able to in the past.
The legislated two-year review of the scheme is now underway. Was it a mistake to be an opt-in scheme, given that groups like CLAN argue that victims have died waiting for apologies and compensation?
Well, certainly the two-year review has got to inform us on the things that are working and the things that perhaps we could be doing better going forward. And so I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity to see the results of that review. But, you know, you mentioned CLAN and there are a number of other advocacy organisations like Forgotten Australians. But, you know, they have been such an extraordinary support to survivors as they've gone through this process. And I really would like to shout out to CLAN, Forgotten Australians, and as I say, many other advocates for the huge role that they have played in supporting and informing this process over the last 2 years.
Anne Rustin, thanks for talking to AM.
My pleasure. Thanks, Sabra.
That's the Federal Families and Social Services Minister, Anne Rustin.